when Moses anointed Paul. We have all read of all of them. Perhaps we don't have them waiting. I think first of all, just to summarize those seven occasions in this fashion. Exodus chapter 17. The Moses thought is the place where power is engendered. Power is engendered. The moment Moses hands off, Israel takes over. And he hands it down. And they come to peace. Then there is a rather long section, beginning chapter 19, that has its own beat within it, while Moses is up and down the mountain. But I want to suggest that in that section, particularly chapter 20, it's the place where principles are explained. We'll respond to that in a moment or two. Principles are explained. Chapter 20 is the place of the 10 words. The first of the 10 commandments. Exodus 25, part of that open section that we refer to, verse 40, where those words, keep them on me, according to the pattern that is shown me in the land. For not terrible Jesus. The mountain top is the place where the pattern is exhibited. For not only did God give instruction to Moses in what parable, but he gave Moses an exhibition to do that. Then we read in chapter 32, two prayers that Moses made for the mountain. So the mountain thought is the prayer, prayer is in the air. Look at those in Jesus. I trust in the Lord's help. Prayer is indeed. We didn't read Numbers 20. That is the chapter where it begins with the death of Moses. The end with the death of Aaron. And it's an unanticipated hearing that Aaron shares with his son Eleazar and with his brother Moses. It's the place where the priesthood is escaped. You know the background to it? The occasion when Moses and Aaron have the opportunity to bring glory to God by speaking to the Lord only. But they escaped from the people. And they spoke for them. We use language of which God disapproves. And they perform an action for which God has given them no authority. And because of that, the law decreed that neither Aaron nor Moses would enter into the land. So in the case of Aaron, the mountain top is a place where he sent his garments and his sons picked them off. Three men go up, two men come down, and that's your Lord and God, Aaron the priest, the place where the priesthood was exchanged. Deuteronomy 34 is the place where Moses' heart is ending. He too will not go over. He will be privileged to see. When we get the opportunity, we'll see the vastness of that vision. For the Lord was seated to get it, but he never went over to them. And if I could bracket those last two together, I would say that the mountain top for Aaron and Moses was the place where punishment was executed. Sad, solemnly, the mountain top. And the story has been very sad indeed, if it had it isn't. The fact of it is, we have that glorious experience, recorded in Matthew 17, Mark reads goodness, where one all glorious pastor is exalted. The Lord Jesus takes the prior friend preeminently, and Moses, along with Elijah, is privileged to be there to witness that glorious experience.
knowing himself, experience.
That's what it is. For many of you. The place of Param is in Delhi. The Lord is alive. The previous exercise on the part of the Brahman of Lord of the received us home. A company of people of Islam. How's the Mahatma? How's the contented?
That's the one we're looking for.
How's the contented? A group of people that is here. Constantly murmuring and changing the world.
Just like the experience of the water coming out of the road.
Where it goes opening up to the
then came
Amalek
and fought with Israel
in Rephidim. Numbers chapter 24, Balaam reminds us that Amalek was the first of the nations to attack Israel. I want us to think about that. What is the thing about the attack and then came Amalek? Imagine if we ask ourselves, who is it? What is this comfort that will come against them? So the very Genesis 36. One of those long dim colors is
in the tower, the Amalek,
was the grandson of Esau. For relative, everyone. A relative of the flesh they are, the man who is fine, is birthright, the man who gave up all. What will they do? What will be the reason that they will make in the face of this attack? Very simple. Moses says to Joshua, Jesus, choose your own men, go out and fight. And that's the only way to meet the call, is to go out and fight. But what about what is here? What about what is Moses? Well, the other part of the arrangement is that Moses says, tomorrow I will walk to the top of the hill with the Lord of God in my hand. So we see that when they fight against the fleshly enemy, Amalek, there is that host that, there is that person who takes the forces out on the plain. But thank God there is that person who represents them on the top of the mountain. He's just a little picture of our experience today as we do battle with the enemy which we call the flesh, or the combined forces of evil, for that matter. Thank God for one, God the Holy Spirit himself, who has taken the place of Christ on earth. Well, Christ has taken his place at the right hand of the throne of God. For as we heard in prayer to meet Moses, it's only a man, all of us are men. But as some of us said, the rest of men are only men. Not the hill bear he. Lift up the rod of God, but he in a man, his arm becomes weak, and down it comes. The passage told us, while Moses' hands were up, Israel prevailed. While Moses' hands were down, Amalek prevailed. One can always see the Esau movement of the forces. Depending on what is going on at the top of the hill. You know the arrangement went on? The further arrangement was made that Aaron and Hur would stand one on the one side and the other on the other and hold Moses' hands up until they're going down with a small dancing. All the world were engaged in the battle of Gilgal. There is one mountain who is harmed, because he is a man, but to be held up with the law of God in his hand. And I tell you, think of God, there is a man who has gone far higher than Moses,
went to the very throne of God itself. And there he is.
With the Hebrew language,
learned to achieve in the presence of God
for us.
Yes, and whatever did I to use the figure of chapter 70.
He will never know Hebrew.
What did they say in that Hebrew in 2790? Pretends with unreading care, unreading care, law for this is life. And thank God that finally we have God the Spirit in us to enable us to face the forces of evil here on earth.
Never forget the resource,
That we really need for the battle
is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who has entered into heaven itself, knows what we are in the presence of God
for us.
What is the aim of this battle?
The thing that mentions Christ,
that God's aim of the battle is to rid the death of Ammon altogether. Thank God, Savior God, one day we'll leave a flesh behind us forever. It's a right of the earth.
Sometimes it's hard to do.
There's not a crown of glorious days when we have the body of the house.
Not leave the earth.
The Savior of God, how wonderful it is to you. That will be. I thought to you about the account that was taken up. Moses said, Break it in a book. What really impressed me was this, he said, Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I wonder if Moses was taking into account the fact that he was getting old. He knew that, but we have to be succeeding. Another would have to carry on when he went home. And he wants this episode recorded. And rehearsed in the ear of a man who's got it to it. To carry on with Moses went home. That he's not content with writing the account, he raises a mocker.
He raises a mocker.
Thank God for the appreciation in the godly man's heart. The man who has been in the fire of battle, raising in the next valley. He raised the mocker and there are names. And the names that mean the Lord, man, I'm going to stop there and say there, power is in there. I hope that you have left with a message here. But I need to make a longer session.
I don't want to spend too much time here.
I've got a few ideas that emerged as I read through those chapters. Chapter 19, for instance, Peace of Deliverance. There is a pre-counting of the experience of the deliverance of the people of Israel. And in that chapter, there are wonderful blessings that Moses is found in relation to the nation. Truth, in detail, encouraging truth, the man of deliverance and blessing. Then we read it both chapters 20 to 23. We think about demands that are made now. And behavior is regulated by those chapters as emanating from the rising top. Then it refers in chapter 25 the idea of the dwelling, the tabernacle, the idea of the
children, these are the name, according to the pattern that was shown thee in the land.
That was the most important. Do you want to catch a glimpse of how it really achieved? Take the time to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. I tell you that we do our worshipful spirit, your request and what Moses saw, what the people saw, God moved from the mountain saw. During those important days.
We read about the storm, the thunderings of the lightning,
and the smoke, on the seed of the coil of the shadow. And the turning of the bindling on the occasion. And the great earthquake that took place. I was deeply impressed. The violence was not the whole and broken. What do you learn in this chapter?
Well, those chapters get direction for life.
Spiritual life. Spiritual life. Spiritual life. What is good to call peace life? Social life. Not only public life, but peace life. Very, very important. Far too much material to tackle tonight, contemplate at all. And so they possessed you with the unimposed purpose. Moses on the mountain top, receiving instruction from the Lord. It's the place where principles are expounded. Far too numerous to think of them. Shortly there, right there. So we move on to that statement of Mary in chapter 25, 66. Opening chapter of the instructions about the construction of the tabernacle. He that will make it, according to the pattern of the shoes in the mind. Well, I have no intention of going over the material that Mr. Bock handles so beautifully. Earlier in the evening. No intention. He would let me summarize for you just what emanated from those chapters about the tabernacle. In these few words, I want to suggest to you that Moses on the mountain top, there was a pattern of the experience, learned something about the material. He learned something about the metal. He learned all about the measurement. And he saw the model. And he learned who the men were who would be in that great work of construction. Some of our ideas were there and some of them were the same. Let me say, put the sum of the things you were there and the animals to be used. As we listen to the minister from a very able brother. But I want to do some other things. And for these verses, I think about the place where prayer was in jail. Prayer was in jail. Two prayers. I call the fifth one the prayer of appeasement. The prayer of appeasement. Moses is taking an angry God. Well, he might be angry. You'll see that in a moment. But the second prayer, in verse 55, I have called the prayer of atonement. The prayer of atonement. Peradventure, I will lay let's look at this prayer of appeasement, just for a moment. And think, first of all, about the anger that is perceived. Go to speak to the high water. Why do I have the wrath, So why did it flash? Well, this is the chapter. This is the chapter. That God says to Moses, way without it, the people have cast to them. This is where the chapter where the thought of it golden calf is expressed. This is where, down there in the valley, the people have had the encounter to make from metal a calf, a golden calf, and to say, these are God's oracles, Brought me out of the land of Egypt. And having had things to do in chapter 20, in detail, we will pray what may be the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And the divine jealousy is seen in it overfilled, and the wrath that God exhibited to Moses on the mountain of God. Why does thy wrath wax hot? Moses is making a shield to him. We'll see that in a moment. The effect, the feeling, the feel of outrage of the Lord in relation to Aaron having made the golden child. And having said such things, he was deeply ungodly. I think of all that God has done for the people. Moses is going to speak about that. There in chapter 33, he speaks about God's people. Confounded prayer. To show you the opening verses of the chapter, you'll see that how strong the Lord feels when it was his. My people confounded prayer. How does that confounded do it? That's what they're saying down there. That's what they're intending to do. They're taking away from me all that I have done for them, and that causing it to you and to the God that calls. Look at all that's in her little shame, the great God of the heaven, the anger that was twisting. Do you listen to the skillful way that Moses speaks? This man. You think about the argument that is presented. The argument that is presented. The argument is like this. Whisper should the Egyptian seek and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. How forceful is that argument on the part of Moses to the Lord? You're really pointing out to the Lord that he's going to give the nations occasion to accuse them if in fact he bent his wrath upon his own dear people. To a lot of kind, for a mere human, to argue with the Lord like that, that his arguments were based on very good facts. For that's what Egypt would have done. That's what Egypt would have said. That's the glory that Egypt would have entertained. Had the Lord gone on to punish his people, as they rightly deserved. Make no mistake about that, as they rightly deserved. Do you think about the appeals that are prepared? The appeals that are prepared. He asked the Lord, first of all, to his wrath, that he turn from thy fierce wrath. Turn from thy fierce wrath. It's not a long prayer, it's not a prayer. Neither of the two prayers is long. They come to the Lord to be fast. And the next prayer is last to forget. But by thinking about this prayer of Eden, then you ask the Lord to repent of the evil that he intends toward his people. Think of a man. A wonderful man, but a man who was there, making that kind of appeal to the Lord. And then he's asking the Lord to remember. To remember. I want you to look at whom he asked the Lord to remember. Abraham, Isaac, and you would naturally say Jacob. Not Jacob in this passage. It's not Jacob in this prayer. It's not appealing to the Lord on the grounds of that old, twisted, cynical, evil man. He's appealing to the Lord on the basis of the man who God changed his character. The man that the Lord touched. The man who became the truth of God and who prevail in the world. But John the Holy is not stable. Here are some of the things that were speaking of the custom, Abraham, Adam, and David. There's a man in the Lord that is promised. To whom might spirit by his own self? What did the Hebrew write it? The Lord could swear by no grace. To whom he swear by his own self? The parallel, east of the star, east of the star. Find it today, it's still notable. How many stars there are? East of the star. You're speaking of it, venting your wrath. What a powerful answer that was. Then there's the thought of the possession, the land which you promised to your people for a possession. A very, very powerful argument that they should inherit it forever. That was your promise to the Lord is the Lord. Some would say that was cheap. I would say that was a very stoic and a stepping prayer. A prayer of appeasement. But think of for a moment about the prayer of atonement. The second prayer. And you'll take my word for it, but the first one is a few places at the top of the house. And if you go read it after again, you'll see it in the text. As we come to the second one, the prayer of atonement. Listen first of all to what Moses has to say to the people. And he has sent them a great sin. If Moses speaks directly to the Lord, if he speaks without restraint to the Lord, he equally speaks without restraint to the people. He's a courageous man, really. He's on his own. Because the people are saying that they are there and he's saying with the people. He's practically on his own as he makes this accusation against. And in spite of that, he sees only one way out of this dilemma. And it's for him to go back into the presence of the Lord. And he speaks about paradise. I will make an atonement. You know what the word atonement really means to cover. And Moses is prepared to undertake the task from the intercessor. And go back up a moment into the presence of the Lord to make the atonement. What will they see when he gets there? They'll make a tremendous admission. They'll stay in the presence of the Lord ever since this season. This season has been a great sin. From the least of Moses trying to hide it. The Lord knows all of it. The Lord knew your face before Moses knew your face. Took the Lord himself to do Moses' attention to it. When we keep the presence of the Lord, there is no opportunity to hide anything. For me to read it, I trust you. We believe that the Lord is on me. This is has been a great step. I'm sure you can tell me, go here for Aaron's sake of it. Well, he says, you know, the people of life was that they gave them an earring, a good answer of time, and this is what came of it. Now, that's not what the original record says. The record before us says that he made a golden calf of a hearing tool. Then the tribes which threw themselves to Moses said, this is what came up. Well, then, this people are staring at a great sin. And there's accuracy in what it says. They are made gods of gold. Gods of gold. I wish I could get across to you there a wonder of this man of achievement. You notice in your authorized text that after he says, if thou wilt forgive, there's a dash. But this Moses is left without anything to say. There is no basis on which he can ask the Lord to forgive him, other than his own grief of heart. If thou forgive. And I can always hear Moses pausing to see, to understand the reaction of the Lord to his appeal. If he follows that valley, what is probably an even more remarkable state, showing his affection for this wayward people, says, and if not, and if not, what we are praying out of thy book. What a heart he has. Woeful and wayward and sinful as they have been. Not a word to say in our own listening, nor can Moses say in our own listening. Depending entirely on the justice of God. What a God he has. How will the Lord help? How will the Lord do that? He'll set up in court. Verse 13. The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I lodge in the man's room. And who could argue with the righteousness of that? Him, or whosoever has sinned against me, him will I lodge in the man's room. Many take a plan. But still, a future for this people, you see. For the Lord hardly mentioned and he brought indeed, set aside. Therefore, he goes, therefore, now go meet the people in the place of which thou hast spoken unto me, and so on. And therefore, he finds there is no place, and the Lord prays the people, because they made the calf, which Aaron, so his prayer is effective. They are forgiven. He is not to be blotted out of the book. But they have to accept the consequences of their sin. So it reminds our heart to leave the mountain of thought for Moses to the place where prayer was engaged. Could it be that the Lord could look at him on the planet and see the stars clean and clean out of the Lord? There are 22 where even the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, gathered from Kadesh and came on the Mount Hor. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. For he shall not enter into the land. Besides, get on to the children of Israel because you rebelled against my word at the bottom of Meribah. What a few simple things. Interesting to see the situation, but we don't have time to look at it today. When you listen to the sentence, Aaron shall not enter into the land. What a feeling that must have brought into the heart the whole three of those men. Moses, Aaron, Eliezer, who were the principal actors in the scene. What a feeling. What is the substance of this pen that is used? Well, you know that because ye rebel against my word. And if you go back to the incident, that is the background to it. You remember the word that was used was the word presence. I shall be seen of God. That is very, very, very careful about the use of that word. and many hours later, Allah Hadith, two men, two leading men, were denied entrance into the land. I wonder if I get hold of your soul time, as it has got hold to mine. Our Hadith, the law is for the land. When I read it, tremendous to call. What a theme for a younger man to be part of. To see his older son, his old son, taking off the priestly garments and handing them to him. To be in his presence, putting them on. His father is gathered unto these people. I like that word of surety in a man. There's no doubt about Aaron's eternal security. But the land's not for him. Because of Allah.
What else is wrong in the 34?
The place where for Moses the Father is ended. It's very interesting to read chapter 33 and hear of the last blessing of Moses and all the people before he goes. Wonderful the things of a man blessing the Lord's people. And then the next chapter speaks of Israel. I thought about the slope, Mount Nebo. Then thought about that hill, Pisgah, where the Lord showed to take a man in his last moment. Then I thought about the things that he gave Moses of the land. If you take the time, you'll find it interesting, you guide it, to take the map of the area. And we'll take Mount Nebo and just go through the places where, which I mentioned, that the Lord showed the, showed Moses. And you'll find that, roughly speaking, that he showed him the land to the northwest, 100 miles, to the southwest, 100 miles, and due west to the upper sea, 60 miles. So they are not surprised that he reached before the chapter finished, but his eyes did not turn. He must have had wonderful vision. And it must have been a wonderful vision. And he saw it. He never entered. Do you want to illustrate John chapter 3 in your gospel preaching, my dear brother? You think of the man who saw, but never entered. John 3 speaks about seeing and entering. Here is the man who saw and never entered. Pardon me. Wonderful story. Some of the things that are said about Moses in Deuteronomy 34 are to be prophet. Yes. Not a prophet like this man. Not a prophet like this man. When he's describing the prophet to come, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up light unto me. And when the Savior comes, people are asking him, ask thou he that should come? Or take me for another? I was impressed with astonishment in the sea, as well as this millennium, astonishment, mercy, and God. There were three men, when it was here on the star. There was only mercy in the world. And they buried him in the most secret place. Though I lost material there is from the clothing, vessels of the time. He was up, and nobody can tell. Throughout the day ago, he had the wonderful privilege of demonstrating that the mountain top is the place where power is in general. And where principles are expounded. The word was part of the animal's activity. The word prayer was engaged. The word of priesthood was exchanged. But now for him, the place where his heart depends. Would you say, how would it be tremendous his heart? That the last time that Moses was seen in our Bible. And thank God on the mercy of God. The God whose mercy here in Aaron Creek, in Exodus 32, was kind enough to allow him to see in the mountain side of the Lord Jesus when he looked up the mountain. We'll be there so often in our thoughts and in our ministry. But how wonderful to think that he was privileged. He was raised. His body was taken from its secret grave. And look at Isaiah, who was privileged to discuss with the Lord Jesus his defeat, that he should have come to the city of Israel. Marvelous work, yes. Marvelous work. God knows, of course, that there is something unique about the outgrowing of his circumstances. His body was taken from secret grave. And what a man can do to the Lord Jesus, his defeat, that he should have come to the city of Jesus. Marvelous answer, marvelous answer. God loves us because there is something great about the outgrowing of him. This is the practice of the Jesus Christ. You can have been in second verse, in second verse. John, the story that he feared, is come. If you have said the scriptural reference about Peter, there was to be something singular about him.
Tell them of John, the second time, for the man of the power of the Spirit. The woman of you, the mother, who said, no, this is what I mean, no. The woman of you, the mother, who said, no, this is what I mean, no.
Thank you.